نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، tonight inshallah one of the important qualities that we need to develop, part and parcel of the development that is so desired in the month of Ramadan, is the development of good character. What we normally say, the person has got very good akhlaq, he's got very good character. This in fact is amongst the greatest qualities that a believer can develop. On the one hand, we find that mashallah, a person will focus on his salah, focus on the fasting, which are important, but these are outward aspects. And often you'll find that while a person is focusing on that, the person is neglecting the inward qualities. So when we refer to the inward qualities, we are referring to the manner in which the person will speak to others, the manner in which that person treats his family, the way he interacts with his neighbors, if he is an employer, the way he'll interact with his employees, or a person interacts with his fellow staff members in his workplace. This you will find that a person, or often it happens that people neglect this area, not considering the feelings of the next person, causing harm and takleef to these individuals. Whereas in Islam, these aspects are not secondary. This is of central importance. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, that I have been sent to perfect noble character. In other words, one of the missions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to refine and to perfect the akhlaq and the character of the sahaba ikram. And to this end, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so successful that you find, if we just take a glimpse at the society of the Arab world during that time, prior to the Nubuwa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was the condition of the Arabs? That there was the oppression that was taking place, the rights of people were being usurped, the rights of the woman, the orphans, the needy. There was absolute neglect with, you know, in this regard. And to such an extent that, you know, the inward quality of, for example, compassion and mercy, it was non-existent. Hence, you know, the rulers and the empires of that time, they too did not want to rule over the Arabs because they felt like these were, you know, worse than even animals. To make us understand, the Sahaba Ikram, prior to them accepting Islam, it was a normal culture that if somebody had a child that was born, that was a girl, then it was regarded as some kind of a defect, some kind of a bad omen for that family. And it was normal practice that when that daughter would, you know, reach a certain age, then they would bury their daughter alive. Bury the daughter alive. Can we imagine? In fact, one sahabi, he gave his entire story to Rasulullah SAW, how prior to him accepting Islam, he actually buried his daughter alive. And yet he was so attached to his daughter. And he even described the scene where he eventually told his wife that, look, now is the time, prepare her, make her wear her best dress. And so she was adorned with her best dress. And he came and he took his daughter, and she thought that her father is taking her for, you know, a little excursion. And happily she went with her father, and he had already prepared the hole where she was going to be buried. And as they came to the hole, he then pushed her inside, and she thought her father was playing with her. And then he started throwing sand on her, and she said, oh my father, you're dirtying my nice dress. You're dirtying my nice dress. And he continued in this day and continued in this way until eventually he completely buried her in sand. Sahaba-e-Kiram said that when they looked at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were tears rolling down the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said that, why did you not have mercy on her? Why did you not have mercy on her? Of course, this was a normal custom. This was prior to them accepting Islam. Al-Islamu yahdimu ma kana qablahu. The acceptance of Islam wiped out everything that took place thereafter. But yet Rasulullah s.a.w. worked on the Sahaba to such an extent that when Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, when he was made shaheed, then at that time when the news reached Madinatul Munawwara that Ja'far, the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, has been made shaheed, he was holding the flag of Islam, and what a warrior he was. They chopped off the one hand, he grabbed the flag in the other hand, they chopped off that hand. With the balance of the two hands, he held the flag in this way until eventually he was, made shaheed. The news reached Madinatul Munawwara, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very emotional about this. But then the amazing thing that happened was that he had a daughter. And it was said that all the close relatives, the male relatives of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, were actually competing and fighting with one another, or arguing in a way that, listen, I will take her and I will see to her. And then next one said, I will see to her. Upon this, the Sahaba-e-Kiram that were present were so amazed that, imagine, at one time we were willing to bury our daughters alive, and now a day has come where we're actually competing and fighting with one another that who will take care of this precious daughter of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. So that is how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worked on the character of the Sahaba-e-Kiram. Our late Mu'inis Patel sahab rahmatullahi used to say that the condition of Medina Sharif was such that what a harmonious society it was, that if one person was going through, and if there were 100 people living in Madinatul Munawwara, and one person was going through a moment of happiness, of, rejoice, then there were 99 people there to share in the happiness. And if one person was going through some pain, some sickness, some hardship, some financial difficulty, there were 99 people that were there to support him, that were there to help him. This was the transformation that took place, how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam worked on the hearts of the Sahaba-e-Kiram. There is a famous incident mentioned also in Fazail-e-A'mal, where one Sahabi prepared some meat, that he had a little extra meat, and he sent it to his neighbor. That neighbor, when the neighbor received the meat, he said, Alhamdulillah, I have sufficient food, let me send it to my neighbor. It is said that the meat went right down the street, went across onto the other side, went down that street, and came back to the very Sahabi who had prepared the meat. Every single Sahabi and every single household felt that, I rather give it to my neighbor. I rather give preference to that individual. To make us understand the consideration of the Sahaba-e-Kiram, in one particular battle, there were a few Sahaba who had been injured fatally, and they were lying on the ground calling out for water. A certain Sahabi who had water, he heard one of these wounded Sahaba calling out for water. So he went with the water to him, and he was about to give him this water to drink, when another Sahabi a little further down called out for water, also fatally wounded. This Sahabi who was fatally wounded, who was desirous of water, said, no, go and give him the water first. He rushed to that Sahabi. When he reached that Sahabi, another Sahabi a little further down was also fatally wounded. He called out for water. This Sahabi refused. He said, no, go again, give him water. By the time he reached the third Sahabi, he had already passed away. He rushed to the second Sahabi. He had passed away. He rushed to the first Sahabi, who had also passed away. This was the nature of the Sahaba-e-Kiram, that transformation in their character. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that one of my missions was to perfect noble character. With regards to character, again, as we said, in Arabic, it comes from the word khuluq. And this refers to one's inner disposition and nature. And the other word is khalq, which is how a person looks externally. In Islam, the ulama-i-kiram, they say that badlul ma'roof wa kafful adha wa talaqatul wajhi. That a person, he does good, and he prevents himself, or he withholds himself from harming any person, from causing any taklif to another individual. And this person has got a cheerful countenance. So we find that in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the heaviest thing on the scale of good deeds on the day of Qiyamah will be good character. Just to make us understand, one Sahabiya was described to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, O Nabi of Allah, she's a very pious woman. Very, very pious. Her outward aspects. She performed lots of salah, always fasting, you know, lots of good deeds. Maybe if we could add a lot of wazifas and, you know, ma'mulat and tilawat of the Quran Sharif. And all of that was there. And par excellence, she was known for her ibadat. But, O Nabi of Allah, her character. Very foul character. Very harsh, very hard. Insulting this one. Swearing at that one, being hard to this one, harsh to that one. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said she will go to the fire of Jahannam. Another woman was mentioned to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that, O Nabi of Allah, this woman, she does what is necessary. Her farz wajib, she is doing. However, her akhlaq is phenomenal. She has got excellent character. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that she will go to the gardens of Jannah. Showing clearly how important one's character and one's akhlaq is. With regards to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahu Akbar, his akhlaq was par excellent. Allah Ta'ala declares in the Quran Majid, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. O Nabi of Allah, you are on a pedestal of sublime character. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was questioned that, well, how is the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Generally, the wife is the one who can really, you know, who can really say. Our late Hakim Akhtar Sahib, he, you know, when his khalifas were there, he told all the khalifas that, alhamdulillah, I was also present in that gathering. He told all the khalifas that, I want a letter from your wives. And they must sign also that your character is good in the home. Because if the wife says the character is good, then you must know definitely. Because wife generally, hard for them to, you know, give compliments, you know. On a lighter note, there was one great buzuruk. So he had a very, you know, a wife was quite temperamental. So anyway, so on one particular day, he, Allah Ta'ala gave him this karamat that he was flying on a carpet. So he flew past the house, the courtyard of his own home. His wife was in the courtyard, you know, doing some work, household chores. So when he came home, his wife said, you know, you think you're very pious. You claim to be very, very pious. Today I really saw a pious person. I really saw a buzruk. He was actually flying on a carpet. So he looked down and he said, well, actually, that was me. He said, no wonder you were flying so crooked. No wonder you are flying so crooked. So generally, if the wife has to say that your akhlaq is good, now you must know really this person's akhlaq is good. So here, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, not only Aisha radiallahu anha, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, the first wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when the Nabi of Allah returned from the Ghar of Hira, when he came and he said that, I'm going to be destroyed. Her response was, Kalla wallah, by the qasam of Allah, you will never be destroyed. And then she continued tabulating and elaborating the noble traits and character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are that person who is kind, who is considerate, who sees to the poor, who sees to the orphans, who sees to the widows. Allah will never destroy you. And when Aisha radiallahu anha, when she was asked, and in fact before we come to that, she mentioned that Lana Shamsun walil afaqi Shamsun. That we have got a sun and the horizon has got a sun. The sun of the horizon rises every morning. And our sun rises when my Nabi enters the home. In other words, when Rasulullah ﷺ entered the home, he brightened and he lightened the home. He brought happiness into the home. He brought cheer into the home. Our wives, they say, you'd rather go work. Why you came home? And one lady wrote a letter to our late Pioneer Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. She said that the day her husband passed away, people were crying. But she said, I was the happiest person on earth because I felt now I had been released from all the abuse. That husband had abused her to such an extent that the day he passed away, She felt like she got freedom from some kind of a prison or for some kind of a person who was torturing her. May Allah Ta'ala protect. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is about Aisha radiallahu anha, and when she was asked that how is the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. The character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that of the Qur'an. In other words, whatever noble traits you find in the Qur'an, it was evident in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In that incident of Mi'raj, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up in the late portion of the, or the early portion of the morning, the time of tahajjud, and he left to go to the graveyard and to make dua. At that time, in some narrations it is mentioned that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up very quietly. He put on his clothes very silently. He wore his shoes very silently. فَتَحَ الْبَابَ رُوَيْدًا He opened the door gently. Now why did he do this? He did not want to disturb the sleep of Aisha radiallahu anha. Our Waleed Maulid Sahib rahmatullah used to say, if we wake up for tahajjud, the whole street comes to find out. The whole neighborhood comes to find out, okay, Hazrat woke up for tahajjud. The whole house too must wake up. But Rasulullah sallam, being the greatest, the Nabi of Allah, he woke up and he did not want to disturb the sleep of his beloved wife. This is what akhlaq is all about, noble character. That is why Hakimul Ummah Mujaddidul Millah, Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah used to say, agar kutub banna hai aur ghaus banna hai to kahi aur jao, lekin agar insaan banna hai to mere paas aa jao. If you want to become a kutub and a ghaus and an abdal and all of those things, go somewhere else. But if you want to become a human being with good character, you come by me. And that's what he worked on, inculcating good character within the people. With regards to abdal, so one person was claiming to be an abdal. An abdal, you know, it comes in some narrations that these are very, very pious individuals who Allah Ta'ala has blessed with certain qualities, and they are alive in the world. So this person was claiming to be an abdal. So they came and told us, the Thanvi, ke Hazrat, fula kehte hai ke wo abdal hai. So Hazrat said, ha, sahi hai. Pehle gosht tha, abdal ban gaya. That person is claiming to be an abdal. So he said, no, first in Urdu, ab means now, and dal means the dal that we eat. So he said, yeah, previously he was meat, now he became dal. In other words, by claiming to be pious, you have actually degraded yourself. The one who says he is pious, then in reality he is not pious. Because the one who is really pious will never think he is pious. Because he will be an embodiment of humility, he will think nothing of himself. So nevertheless, so he said that if you want to become a human being, then you come and spend time in my company. And even if you look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way he dealt with people. For example, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always willing to forgive. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so many examples of this kind, where he was kind and loving to the children, where he responded to evil, he didn't respond to evil with evil. But rather he responded to evil with good. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he says, khadamtu an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. And in that period of 10 years, not once did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever raise his voice or was he ever harsh to me. And in fact, he even mentions that at times I would go as a young lad, instead of fulfilling the chore of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I would find some boys playing. And I would end up playing with them until eventually the Nabi of Allah would find me there and remind me that this chore needs to be done. But look at the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With regards to this, our late Maulana Patel Sahib rahmatullahi was very, very, you know, particular with regards to especially akhlaq and consideration for others. He couldn't tolerate it. It was something that really pained him. That if your akhlaq was, you know, if you didn't consider the next person. I remember there was one brother who had come from Johannesburg and he had come to spend some time with Maulana. He brought the family down and he had driven down. So he reached at the time of Isha Salah, it was at Masjid al-Nur, and he came after the Isha Salah and he came to meet Maulana and we took a walk outside the Masjid. So Maulana asked him that, what time you arrived? So he said, no, I just reached now. So he said, the family, they all settled comfortable in the hotel where you stay. So he said, no, Maulana, we're going to go to the hotel. So Maulana asked, so where's your family? He said, no, they're in the car. Maulana became very upset. He said, you drove all the way, your family is tired, and you made them wait in the car. He said, go immediately and go and leave there. He said, you should have rather gone straight to the hotel, made the family comfortable at home, and then you should have come here. You could have even come after Fajr. But you have to consider your family. They need to be, kept at ease. So he was always considerate of others, and how they would feel. And his akhlaq was amazing. In fact, not only his generosity, at times when, you know, you would have these ladies who would be selling the brooms. You know, they have this whole stack of brooms and they go to house selling. So when Maulana would see them, he would find out how many brooms they were. And he would buy the whole lot and he would give them a little extra too. And obviously Appa would sometimes find it a bit, stressful, because she would say, what am I going to do with so many brooms? And then I remember that she would phone some of our family and she said, you need a broom. I got some brooms. I'll give you a broom. But Maulana's rationale was, she said, this lady, she's trying to earn a livelihood for her family. She left early in the morning, and how much of effort behind that. And now she's going to go house to house. She has to still go home and feed her family. That today, if I can make it easy for her, that she can go home early and she can go and feed her family and she can have the day off. This was the kindness and this was the consideration of Hazrat Mawlana Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. There is another amazing incident where on one occasion Mawlana was traveling. He was traveling from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Medina Sharif. Or it may have been from Jeddah to Medina Sharif. But he was heading to Medina al-Munawwara. And they had hired a taxi driver. He was driving. And he was going beyond the speed limit. It so happened that a traffic officer, managed to trap them, and they were pulled over, and he was given a 200 riyal fine, or rather 400 riyal fine. Now, even now to 400 riyal, if you multiply it, it's a lot. But that time, it was a lot more. But in any case, it just so happened that the fee from, Makkah to Medina was 400 riyal. And he got the fine of 400 riyal. So basically, he lost the entire trip. And it so happened that there was a colleague of his was also in the car in front, who also had been trapped, and he also got a 400 riyal fine. So Maulana mentioned, we heard this sort of story from Maulana directly. He said that now he saw in the car, this owner of this taxi driver was speaking to his friend as they continued their journey. He said, I don't make sabr now. It's a test from Allah. What are we going to do? And, it's one of those things that happens. And he's consoling his colleague in front. And they carried on that way. When they reached Medina to Munawwara, Hazrat Mawlana Sahib Rahmatullah Ali took out 400 riyals and said, this is for the fee. And then Maulana took out another 400 riyals. And he said, this is for the fine. And then Maulana took out another 400 riyals. He said, this is for your friend. Go and give him so that he too can pay his fine. This person became so emotional. And then Maulana mentioned, he said that, I thought to myself that this person is from Medina to Munawwara. And if I can find a place in his heart, then inshallah I can get the dua of a person from Medina to Munawwara from the deepest recess of his heart. This is how Maulana Rahmatullah Ali was. I remember that there was a student who was studying with us in the madrasa. And we were in our final year of the Alim course. And we had come to i'tikaf in Mallinson Road Masjid. And this particular sati of ours, he had not seen his parents for that entire duration of about 7 or 8 years, because he did hifz too. It may have been close to 8 years that he hadn't gone home to see his parents who were abroad. He was a foreign student, so he hadn't seen his parents. And he would speak to I still remember when he would speak to his mother over the phone, he would come back crying in the room because his mother would say, I haven't seen you for so many years, how you must be looking. And in those days, we didn't have cell phones and, all of video call and all of those things. It was a normal, phone where you put the money inside, and that's how he would speak. So when we had come for itikaf, I mentioned to Hazrat Mawlana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali in passing that Maulana, this year he finished his alim course, but for the entire alim course he hasn't seen his parents, So Maulana asked me 2-3 times, he hasn't seen his parents. So Maulana, called him to the room, and I still remember he came back into our little tent and he was very, very emotional. Maulana called him and Maulana said, listen, after the itikaf, I have booked a ticket for you to go back and you go and see your parents. I heard that you haven't seen your parents for so many years. And then Maulana also made him phone his mother to inform her and to take a dua. She was so emotional. And she gave such duas for Hazrat Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi. And this is how Maulana was. This was his character and his akhlaq. He worried about the next person, how that person would feel. You know, the feelings of the next person. Maulana's level of consideration was amazing. There was one friend of ours who was going to Port Elizabeth. And it so happened that Hazrat Maulana Sahib Rahmatullahi, his daughter was staying in Port Elizabeth. So Maulana had a parcel to send to his daughter. So he heard that this particular friend and colleague of ours was going to Port Elizabeth. So he made arrangement. He said, listen, I've got a parcel. Will you take it and give it to my daughter? Maulana was under the impression that this particular brother was driving down. So Maulana thought that he's driving down, so you know the parcel will fit in the boot. But the reality was that this brother was actually flying down with the whole family. So when this person came to fetch the parcel, then Maulana asked him that, so you in the morning, what time you leaving, you know? So he said, no, Maulana, we catch taking a flight, we're not driving down. So Maulana immediately pulled back and said, no. If you're flying down, then don't take this parcel because it's too big. I thought you will go in your boot. So he said, no, Maulana, we are a few of us, you know, and you know, we've got small bags. It's not an issue. I'll just put it into, you know, the check-in and we'll collect it that side. So it's no problem at all. The next morning, one of, you know, the close friends of Maulana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullahi, he said that, you know, I couldn't sleep the entire night. I couldn't sleep the entire night because I felt that I had caused inconvenience to this brother. How will he take this parcel? And now going with his entire family, he'll be taking this parcel and I have caused inconvenience to this person. So this brother told him, please phone Maulana and tell him there's no problem at all. It's no takleef. So this is the nature of Hazrat Maulana Sahib Rahmatullahi and the Ahlullah, those who are pious. They refine their characters to such an extent that they will not cause taklif and inconvenience to any person. And this was from the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Again, coming back to switching over again, to focusing only on the external and neglecting the internal. Dr. Abdul Hay Arifi Rahmatullahi says that I saw a young lad. He was performing salah with so much of devotion and concentration. I was so impressed. And as he came out, you know, out of the masjid, an elderly man who had poor eyesight knocked into him. He became so enraged and he started insulting this old man in such a way. He said, I thought he was a farishta. He turned out to be a shaitan. He turned out to be a, you know, worse than an animal. And this is what happens when we will neglect our good character. So you have to work on the akhlaq and character. You have to be willing to, you know, take a bit of criticism. Today, unfortunately, we find that anybody criticizes us, finish. We can't take any criticism whatsoever. Nasiha mat kar dil, nasiha mat kar, nasiha dil mera ghabrawe hai. Main samjhu usko dushman jo mujhe samjhawe hai. He said, brother, don't give me any nasihat. Because when you advise me, my heart experiences palpitations. I regard that person as my enemy who is advising. Unfortunately, this is our nature. A person wrote a letter to Hazrat Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi. And he was very, very critical. And he was also quite disrespectful in his letter. You know, so you are like this year and your murids are like this year. And they are all like a bunch of sheep that flock behind you. And all lot of things like this. If somebody had to write a letter like that to us, we'll say, bring him here, sort him out one day. Hazrat Maulana Sahib Rahmatullahi responded by saying, brother, you know, Jazakallah for bringing to my attention my weaknesses. And I assure you, I have many, many more weaknesses that you are not aware of. I make shukr to Allah that He hasn't exposed all my weaknesses to you. And in future, if you come to know of any other weaknesses of mine, feel free to inform me. Look at how they had annihilated themselves. What was their level of akhlaq? May Allah Ta'ala give us a fraction of that. It is mentioned of one of the great Buzurgan Deen, most probably Allama Qasim Nanotwi Rahmatullahi, or one of the great scholars, that there was a group of people who were enemies, you know, who were very critical of him. So they used to print a magazine, and in that magazine, generally, they would always have an article or two dedicated at, you know, insulting and lashing out at Hazrat. But he would make it a point that every month or quarterly, whenever that magazine came out, he would make sure that he would get a copy. He would say that your enemy, as much as, you know, they, you know, maybe are also driven by emotions, But they generally are looking for weaknesses in you. They're looking for faults. And generally the people who are around you, your close friends, you know, they tend to, you know, sometimes flatter you a little. So he says, I try to look at it to see maybe there is a fault or two that maybe is correct in it. And then it helps me improve myself. So he was open to criticism. So on one occasion, they had written an article that was really, really, you know, they're taking it a bit too far. So the friends actually, they made sure that this time we can't give it to Hazrat. Because it's too bad. Hazrat became quite upset. He said, no, I insist that you must make sure that you give it to me. I want to read, and I am reading it with an open mind so that I can improve myself. They were always willing to improve themselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with that kind of a, you know, open heart. Yes, it's not nice to hear it, but we can't have such sensitive egos that we only are willing to listen to praises. But that's not true also. We mustn't believe the praises of people, as I mentioned the other night, that sometimes we get so carried away with the praises that we start believing it. We start believing that we're so good. Doesn't mean if somebody said you're good, you automatically became good. If Allah says we're good, then we become good. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with that. Now, how do you build this good character? It's sometimes the smallest of things. Smiling at a person. Today a person thinks, many people have this view, that the more serious you are, that automatically means you're more pious. Yet Rasulullah s.a.w. there was a cheerful countenance to Rasulullah s.a.w. Nabi Kareem s.a.w. said in one hadith, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجه طلق. Do not regard any good deed as insignificant, even if it means meeting your Muslim brother with a cheerful countenance. You're smiling, you're meeting the person, you know, with a cheerful face. I mean, naturally you find even children are attracted to a person who's cheerful. You know, that uncle was always serious and strict. You find the children too, they tend to stay away from it. And we don't know this, you know, as I said, the grumpy chacha will just explode anytime. So I'd rather just keep far away from it. But you find that, you know, that uncle was always smiling, was always laughing, he's, you know, cracking jokes with them. They tend to be attracted to him. This was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He played with the youth. Once I dropped Hazrat Moinis Patel sahab rahmatullahi alayhi at his home. And as I dropped Hazrat by, you know, at the gate, one of the grandchildren came to the gate. And Hazrat rahmatullahi alayhi, you know, you wouldn't say that that's a big sheikh, because he went down and he started, like, you know, playing with his little grandson. And he said that Hazrat would even play with his grandchildren in the passage with the table tennis and ping pong ball. Now somebody will say, what kind of a Hazrat? That Hazrat is supposed to only be sitting and making zikr. He's not supposed to be playing with his children. Yeah. That's our understanding, unfortunately. A lack of understanding in deen. Deen is such a balanced shariat that when the person is with his wife and children, then there's happiness, there's cheerfulness, there's laughter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with these qualities. Greeting one another, learning to forgive others, speaking gently to people. So you can say something in a nice way. You know, I always tell, for example, the teachers in the madrasa. Sometimes we have, you know, the parents coming in, we have parents' consultation. So I said we have to learn to speak, and this is what we learn from our elders, that say things and say things in a nice way. For example, if the child is in the classroom, and let's say, for example, the child is not focusing, the child is not doing their homework, you know, the child is disrupting the lesson. Now, if you go and if the parent comes in and says, you know, your son, he only, and your daughter, she only disrupts the lesson, and she's only talking, and she's, you know, she's not concentrating, and she's like this and like that, you'll find it's natural that any parent, they love their children, they're going to become defensive. But yet if you said the same thing in a positive way, you know, your son has got so much of potential. He's so capable. If he just focuses a little more in the lesson, he just applies himself more to his work, he will excel. He can become the top student in the class. You said the same thing, but you said it in a positive way. So we also have to learn how to speak to people. That sometimes you want to say something, but we say it in such a harsh way that it becomes very hard to digest. Very hard to digest. And we have to also understand whether the person we advising has the capacity to digest. One of my students said, but Maulana, haq is haq. Haq is haq, and you have to say it. So I said, now, I understand. But if you have an apple, right? I agree that apple has got nutrition. But if a little infant, if a little baby, if you take that apple and take one big piece and shove it in the baby's mouth, what's going to happen to that little infant? The infant can't swallow it. That baby will actually choke on that apple and perhaps can even lose their life. What you have to do is you have to take that apple and you have to mash it up and make it into the puri. So it's not that the apple doesn't have nutrition. It's that the individual doesn't have the capacity to digest it. So not every person has got the strength and the willingness and the emotion to just be able to take criticism, and sometimes you don't even have a relation with that person. So we have to learn to speak gently, to speak kindly. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. Through the mercy of Allah, you are gentle and kind and soft to the Sahaba ikram. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَمْ فَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you were harsh, if you were hard, the Sahaba would have dispersed from you. They wouldn't have been attracted to you. So Rasulullah ﷺ was gentle by nature. He was kind by nature. He was loving by nature. He was compassionate by nature. He was generous by nature. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with these noble characteristics. And once again, we have to understand that this akhlaq is linked to the heart. Because the reality is that the person who is arrogant, the person who is jealous, the person who has got uncontrolled anger, it's going to show in his behavior. It's going to show out in his akhlaq. And on the contrary, the person who, and we spoke about all these qualities, the individual who's got sincerity, who's got humility, his heart is filled with mercy, it's going to produce good character. The heart is, you know, the central organ of the body. And the limbs are actually a reflection of what is in the heart. It's a reflection of what's in the heart. Hence, if you see a person doing good things, that's a sign, that's a reflection of the goodness in his heart. And if you see bad things coming out from the person, he's hard and he's insulting and this, that's a reflection of the hardness in the heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with a fraction even of the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The reality is also, respected elders and brothers, people will judge us by our character. People are attracted to Islam because of our character. It is the character that attracts. They can't see the people outside, the non-Muslims. They don't see our salah. They didn't see how much of tilawat of the Quran Sharif you made. They didn't see how much of dua and how much you cried in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what they are seeing is how you interacting and how you dealing with them. There's one incident that is mentioned of one Jewish person who went to the shop of one Sahabi. And when he went to the shop and he wanted to buy something, the Sahabi said, listen, you know what? There's a shop across the road. I suggest you buy it from there. So this Jewish person, he went across the road only to go to the shop of another Jewish person. And he was amazed. He bought the item there, but he was dumbfounded. He came back. He said, I don't understand. I could have bought the item from you. Why did you send me across? He said, no, you see, I have had a lot of customers today. So when I go home, I'm going to be able to feed my family. But I noticed the man across the road, he hardly had any customers. I'm worried about how he's going to feed his family. Hence, I've asked you to go across. Allahu Akbar. This was the akhlaq, and this is what caused people to accept Islam. So when they see your character, they become attracted to Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah. Recite Durood Sharif.
La ilaha illallah, 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 لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الله جل جلاله وتعالى شأنه الله 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 لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك يا أحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهله فصل وسلم على محمد كما أنت أهله وافعل بنا كما أنت أهله فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة اللهم يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله أو كريم الله رحيم الله most forgiving most loving most caring Allah Ya Allah, you have been so kind to us, so merciful to us, so loving to us, Ya Allah. Allah, you have blessed us with every single bounty that we have, Ya Allah. Whether it is our eyes, our ears, our hands and feet, our heart, liver, lungs, all functioning, Ya Allah. You cause the blood to flow within our body, our hearts to beat, Ya Allah. Our kidneys to flush, Ya Allah. Allah, you are that being who brought us from non-existence into existence, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, every single bounty that we have is nothing but that which you have granted us, Ya Allah. Allah, you are blessed. You had blessed us with this Mubarak, noble month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Allah, we cannot thank you enough for the opportunities that we have had, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, tonight being the last of the odd nights, Ya Allah. It could be the night of power, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we don't know, Ya Allah. We may have missed the other nights because of our negligence, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, this could be the last chance that we have, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we are raising our begging bowls before you, Ya Allah. In this gathering, Ya Allah. These brothers are tired, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, but despite that they are raising their hands before you, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, they are hopeful of your forgiveness and your mercy, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we are extremely sinful servants of yours, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we had committed sins upon sins, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, so many sins that we had committed, we cannot even count it, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, it is possible that our sins are more than the grains of sand on earth, Ya Allah. More than the leaves of the trees of this world, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, tonight we are raising our begging bowls before you, Ya Allah. We have the elderly in our midst, Ya Allah. We have ulama in our midst, Ya Allah. We have huffaz in our midst, Ya Allah. We have little masoom children in our midst, Ya Allah, with the barakat of each and every one, Ya Allah, forgive each and every one of us, Ya Allah. Allah, forgive our major sins and our minor sins, Ya Allah. Forgive the sins of our eyes and ears, Ya Allah. Forgive the sins of our tongues and hands and feet, Ya Allah. Forgive those sins which we committed knowingly or unknowingly, Ya Allah, in the light of day or darkness of night, Ya Allah. Allah, even if our sins are more than the grains of sand on earth, Ya Allah, if our sins are more than the leaves of the trees of this world, Ya Allah, Allah, your forgiveness is much, much more, Ya Allah. Just one drop from your ocean of forgiveness, Ya Allah, is sufficient to wipe away the sins of the entire mankind, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive each and every one of us, Ya Allah. Forgive our parents, Ya Allah. Forgive our children, Ya Allah. Forgive our brothers and sisters, Ya Allah. Forgive our family members, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Oh Allah, you gave us this month of Ramadan for the purification of our souls, Ya Allah. For the development of akhlaq, Ya Allah. For the development of taqwa, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we know that we still don't have these qualities, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, you are the one who grants these qualities, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless us with taqwa, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless us with sincerity, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless us with ikhlas, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless us with rahmah, Ya Allah, and mercy for others, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless us with consideration for others, Ya Allah. Bless us with a heart that is grateful and with heart that is filled with shukr, Ya Allah. Allah, make us of the shakirin, Ya Allah. Allah, make us of those who are grateful of your bounties, Ya Allah. Allah, remove the pride from our hearts, Ya Allah. Remove the pride from our hearts, Ya Allah. Our hearts are abounding with jealousy, with pride, with malice, with hatred, Ya Allah. Allah, purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Hame musaffa, mujalla, muzakka dil ata farma. Allah, you have given man the ability to transplant a heart, Ya Allah. Transplant a spiritually pure heart, Ya Allah. Hawa wa hirswala dil badal de. Mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Allah, give us clean, purified hearts, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you love to forgive the sinners who raise their hands before you, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, tonight, Ya Allah, the pious come to you with their good deeds, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we are sinners, Ya Allah. We come to you, Ya Allah, with this mountain of sins, Ya Allah. You've given man the ability, Ya Allah, with their dynamite sticks to blow up an entire mountain, Ya Allah. That with one delete button, thousands of pieces of information can be, Ya Allah, deleted, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, tonight, Ya Allah, annihilate our sins, Ya Allah. Press the delete button of our sins, Ya Allah. In fact, Ya Allah, change our sins to good deeds, Ya Allah. Allah, make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. Allah, our hearts are inclined towards your disobedience, Ya Allah. Allah, give us the realization, Ya Allah, that we can never find tranquility in your disobedience, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in your disobedience, we will get nothing but anxiety, Ya Allah. Nothing but depression, Ya Allah. Nothing but worry, Ya Allah. Allah, in your obedience, Ya Allah, we will get your tranquility, Ya Allah. We will get happiness, Ya Allah. We will get your pleasure, Ya Allah. We'll get a feeling of fulfillment, Ya Allah. We will be blessed with prosperity and barakah, Ya Allah. Allah, incline our hearts towards your obedience, Ya Allah. Create within our hearts a disinclination from, Ya Allah, your disobedience, create a disinclination, Ya Allah, from your disobedience, Ya Allah. Allah, keep us far away from sins, Ya Allah. Make us like lions against nafs and shaitan, Ya Allah. Nafs or shaitan, dono ne milkar hai kya hai, mujhko taba, ey mere maula, meri madad kar chahta hu main teri pana. Ya Allah, nafs and shaitan have formed a coalition, Ya Allah. They want to destroy us, Ya Allah. They want to drag us down the gutters of shame and humiliation, Ya Allah. But Allah, you protect us against these enemies of nafs and shaitan, Ya Allah. Allah, make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. Koi mujhse puche, main kya mangta hu, main apne khuda se khuda mangta hu. Woh ho jaye mera, main ho jaau uska, yahi raat din mein dua mangta hu. Ya Allah, if someone is to ask us that what are you asking for? What are you asking for tonight? We will say that we are asking you from you, Ya Allah. Allah, that you become ours, Ya Allah. If you become ours, then everything will be ours, Ya Allah. But if you are not ours, Ya Allah, then nothing will be ours, Ya Allah. Our homes will not give us comfort, Ya Allah. Our businesses will not give us happiness, Ya Allah. Nothing will give us comfort and happiness, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, keep us, Ya Allah, with afiyat in this world, Ya Allah. Bless us with safety and security, Ya Allah. Grant us barakat in our homes, Ya Allah. Barakat in our health, Ya Allah. Barakat in our time, Ya Allah. Barakat in our businesses, Ya Allah. Bless us in every single bounty that you have granted us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, change the conditions in this country from instability to stability, Ya Allah. From insecurity to security, Ya Allah. From corruption, Ya Allah, to trust and loyalty, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, blow the winds of hidayat in this country, Ya Allah. Blow the winds of hidayat in this continent, Ya Allah. And throughout the world, blow the winds of hidayat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those who have shown kindness to us, Ya Allah, our parents, Ya Allah, our teachers, Ya Allah, our mashayikh, Ya Allah, our relatives and family members, many of whom, Ya Allah, we are indebted to, Ya Allah. Tonight, Ya Allah, in this 29th night of Ramadan, Ya Allah, we beseech you, Ya Allah, you grant them the best of dunya and akhirah, Ya Allah. If they have passed away, Ya Allah, fill the graves with noor, Ya Allah. Allahumma ja'al quburahum rawdatan min riyadil jannah. Oh Allah, make the graves garden from the gardens of Jannah, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, from those who have been kind to us, Ya Allah, the greatest amongst them, them is none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ya Allah, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam sacrificed for us, Ya Allah. He loved us more than any mother loves her child, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, he sacrificed to such an extent that thorns were placed in his Mubarak pathway, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, ash was thrown on the Mubarak body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was spat at, Ya Allah. On one occasion in the Haram Sharif, the filthy intestines of a camel were placed on the Mubarak back of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ya Allah, my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam walked for kilometers in the scorching heat to Taif, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, and when he reached there, Ya Allah, he gave da'wah to the people, hoping, Ya Allah, that they will become yours, Ya Allah. But instead, Ya Allah, he was chased like a dog, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, he was stoned to such an extent, Ya Allah, that he began to bleed, Ya Allah, and his Mubarak shoes became clogged, Ya Allah. Despite that, Ya Allah, he refused to curse the people of Taif. He said, no, perhaps someone from their progeny will accept Iman and Islam, Ya Allah. How merciful he was, Ya Allah. In the battle of Uhud, Ya Allah, oh Allah, my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his teeth Mubarak became shattered, Ya Allah. The rings of the helmet were embedded in the Mubarak jaw of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He began to, Ya Allah, bleed, Ya Allah. Despite that, Ya Allah, he said, Allahumma ghfir li qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, forgive and overlook my people. They don't know who I am, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, in the battle of Khandaq, Ya Allah, my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah, was rahmatul lil alameen, Ya Allah, who should have been the king of all kings in this world, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, who should have been a VIP and red carpet should have been laid for him, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the battle of Khandaq, Ya Allah, two stones tied to his Mubarak belly, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, and he's digging with his companions, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, sacrifice upon sacrifice. One entire night, Ya Allah, my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cries for his ummah, in tu'adhibhum fa innahum ibaduk. Oh Allah, if you have to punish my ummah, you have every right to punish them, Ya Allah. Every day, my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for his ummah. When every single Nabi will be crying on the day of Qiyamah, Ya Rabbi, nafsi, nafsi, my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be crying for us, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi, ummati, ummati, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, fill our hearts with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rabbi, salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi. Oh Allah, give us the tawfiq, Ya Allah, to emulate the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless us with the noble character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Grant us the tawfiq to conduct ourselves in a way that will be pleasing to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make us ambassadors of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, Allah, enter us into Jannah in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make us of those fortunate ones that drink from the Hawd al-Kawthar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his Mubarak hands, Ya Allah. Enter us into Jannah without any reckoning. Allahumma hasibna hisaban yaseera. Allahumma hasibna hisaban yaseera. Oh Allah, when the time of death comes, Ya Allah, take us to Medina Sharif, Ya Allah. Hey, the Rawdah Mubarak of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa as-salatu wa as-salamu alayka ya Rasul Allah. Cause our souls to depart, Ya Allah. Lekin agar muqaddar nahi hai, to jaha bhi ho, barkat wali maut naseeb farma, wherever it may be, let it be a death of barkat. Do not let the angel of death find us in any sin, Ya Allah. Do not let the angel of death find us in any sin, Ya Allah. O Allah, alleviate the suffering of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, in this month of Ramadan, the people of Gaza, Ya Allah, perform their taraweeh in rubble, Ya Allah. Their homes have been razed to the ground, Ya Allah. O Allah, bombs had been rained upon them, Ya Allah. O Allah, O Allah, have mercy upon them, Ya Allah. What kind of an Eid they will be having, Ya Allah. And so many places in the Muslim world, Ya Allah, there is so much of difficulty and challenges, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, have mercy upon them, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, give us a hearts that are merciful, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, Masjid al-Aqsa, restore it to the hands of the Muslimin, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, open up Masjid al-Aqsa, Ya Allah. We know it is because of our sin that these things are happening, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, change our condition, Ya Allah. Change the condition of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Create a revival in the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Restore, Ya Allah, the grandeur of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once again, Ya Allah. Those oppressors, Ya Allah. Those zalims, Ya Allah, that are oppressing the Muslims, Ya Allah, that are shutting down Masjid Al-Aqsa, Ya Allah. Grant them hidayat, Ya Allah. Lekin agar hidayat muqaddar nahi hai, to unko barbaad kar de. Wallah, if hidayat is not muqaddar for them, Ya Allah, destroy them like you destroyed the Aad and Thamud, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, create disunity among their ranks, Ya Allah. Cause their planes to crash, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, cause their plans, Ya Allah, to fail, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, cause their plans to fail, Ya Allah. Unite the hearts of parents and children, brothers and sisters, family members, and the entire Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, protect our masajid, our madaris, our darul ulum, our khanqa, all the works of deen, Ya Allah. Accept us for the khidmat of your deen, Ya Allah. Those who are sick and ailing, grant them shifa, Ya Allah. There are some who have got cancer, Ya Allah. Grant them complete shifa, Ya Allah. There are others, Ya Allah, who are going through tremendous pain in the hospitals, Ya Allah. And at homes, Ya Allah, have mercy upon them and alleviate their suffering, Ya Allah. Grant them shifa, Ya Allah. There are others, Ya Allah, who are going through financial difficulty. You provide for them, Ya Allah. You provide for them, Ya Allah. There are so many families that have major issues within their families, Ya Allah. Allah, resolve these issues, Ya Allah. Bring about humility, Ya Allah, and unity in the families, Ya Allah. When there is arrogance, Ya Allah, there will never be a resolution, Ya Allah. That problem will never be resolved, Ya Allah. Bless us with humility, Ya Allah. Allah, unite the hearts of parents and children, Ya Allah. Those who are going through marriage problems, make their marriages, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, happy, fill their marriages with happiness, Ya Allah. Those who are married, Ya Allah, make their marriages Jannat on earth, Ya Allah. Our students will be writing examinations, Ya Allah, and who are studying, make it easy for them, Ya Allah, and grant them the ability, Ya Allah, to pass with good results, Ya Allah. Make them assets for the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our children, Ya Allah, make them the coolness of our eyes, Ya Allah. Protect them from the fitnas of the time, Ya Allah. Protect the youth of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, take us all to Haramain Sharifain again and again, Ya Allah. Those who have not gone for Hajj, take them for Hajj, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those who have not gone for Umrah, take them for Umrah, Ya Allah. It is not wealth that takes us, it is your call, Ya Allah. Allah, take us all, Ya Allah. Then once again we can, Ya Allah, go to Haramain Sharifain. Once again we can be in Masjidul Haram, Ya Allah. Once again we can see that green dome, ke jab nazar aaye wo sabz gumbad, kehke salli ala jhoom jaye. That when my gaze falls on that green dome, I go into a state of ecstasy, reciting durood and salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what an ashik will say, Ya Allah. Bless us with the ishq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the ishq of Madinah Sharif, Ya Allah. Make us ashiks of the Quran and Majid, Ya Allah. Bless us with your ma'rifat, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you are well aware all the good desires and aspirations of each and every one who has raised his or her hand before you. Fulfill all the good desires and aspirations, whatever challenge or sickness they are going through. You know very well, Ya Allah. You remove it, Ya Allah. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Agarche pur khata hai, par kaha jaye tera banda, tere dar par tera banda, ummeed karam aaya. Oh Allah, if a beggar is chased from one home, that beggar can still go to another home, Ya Allah. If a dog is chased from one butcher, that dog can still go to another butcher. Oh Allah, sinful ones like us are at your door, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, if you turn your glance of rahmat away from us, Ya Allah, there is no other door for us besides your door. Oh Allah, let it not be that a single person leaves this gathering except that he or she has been completely forgiven, Ya Allah. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.